तस्या मानुजाय अमरा प्रियः श्रृण्वद् भीर उपयाद उपगायद् भीर उत्तमश्लोक चेष्टितम्। The citizens of the state of Maharaja Ambarish were accustomed to chanting and hearing about the glorious activities of the Personality of Godhead. Thus they never aspired to be elevated to the heavenly planets, which are extremely dear even to the demigods. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. A pure devotee who has been trained in the practice of chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord and His fame, qualities, form, paraphernalia, and so on, is never interested in elevation to the heavenly planets, even though such places are extremely dear even to the demigods. Narayana parasarve nakutashtana bibhyate swarga pavarga narakeshu apitulyarata darshanaha. Devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, never fear any condition of life. The heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same to a devotee. A devotee is always situated in the spiritual world. Therefore, he does not desire anything. He is known as akama, or desireless, because he has nothing to desire except to render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because Maharaj Ambarish was a most exalted devotee of the Lord, he trained his subjects in such a way that the citizens in his state were not interested in anything material, including even the happiness of the heavenly planets. Om Agyanti Nidandasya Yananjana Chalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasvai Sri Guruve Namaha. Citizens of the state of Maharaja Ambarish were accustomed to chanting and hearing about the glorious activities of the Personality of Godhead. Thus they never aspired to be elevated to the heavenly planets, which are extremely dear even to the demigods. In this beautiful verse from the ninth canto, fourth chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, we find the great benefits that is derived by associating with great devotees of the Lord. Yad yad acharati sreshta tad eve taro jana sayat pramanam kurute lokasthanu bharati. What great men do, common men will naturally follow. The leaders of society are so much influencing the minds of those who are subordinate to them. Bhagavatam explains, whatever type of leader you take responsibility, it is your duty to live in such a way that those who are subordinate to you never take birth again in this material world. Whether one is king, whether one is a teacher, whether one is a mother or a father. The purpose of human life is self-realization. The purpose of life is not self-preservation. And if we cannot give inspiration and understanding of how to perfect life, then our life is a failure. Because Ambarish Maharaj was such a great king. He was such a great devotee. Everyone in his kingdom followed in his footsteps. Savai Mana Krishna Padaravindaye. Maharaj's mind was always fixed in worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord. Therefore, his mind was non-different than Vaikuntha. And wherever his influence was felt, that place became non-different than Vaikuntha. This material world is Kunta. It is a place of great suffering and anxiety. Vaikuntha is that place where there is no anxiety. Savai Mana Krishna Padaravindayo. Vaikuntha is wherever the lotus feet of the Lord are. If we always keep those lotus feet as a supreme treasure of our hearts, and always engage in remembering and serving those lotus feet, then our heart becomes Vaikuntha. And then whatever we speak, whatever we do, which is an expression of our heart, we create the Vaikuntha atmosphere. It is explained how Ambarish Maharaj, he utilized all of his limbs in the service of the Lord. He exhibited the true understanding of bhakti. Those who are less intelligent, they believe that spirituality and detachment means to refrain from activity. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, renunciation means to refrain from selfish activities for sense gratification, either for your own sense gratification or by providing physical or mental sense gratification for others. There is individual concentrated sense gratification, and there is also extended sense gratification. Simply to taste something good to eat, to see something beautiful with the eyes, to hear something that gives material pleasure to the ears or to the flesh, or to the nose, this is concentrated sense gratification. But to try to give those same benefits to others, whether they be your family members, or in the name of philanthropy, to people who do not have such needs for sense gratification. It even extends to the point of nationalism and humanitarian activities. But it is all an illusion. And people become frustrated due to this illusion. Therefore, they want to become detached from all activities whatsoever, because all activities in this world only incriminate one in bondage due to karmic laws. But Maharaj Ambarish, a true Vaishnava, he was always busy. He used his hands to work very hard to clean the temple of the Lord. He used his feet to travel to the holy places where the Lord's temples and devotees were meeting. He used his eyes to behold the beautiful form of the deities of Radha and Krishna. He used his ears to hear the glories of the Lord, his tongue to speak the glories of the Lord and to chant the holy names. He used his nose to smell the sweet flowers and incense offered to the Lord. He used his tongue to taste the holy and sacred prasad of the Lord. And he used his mind to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna, and to always think of better and better ways to serve Krishna and to help others become Krishna conscious. In this way, Ambarish Maharaj was 24 hours a day immersed in Krishna consciousness. The activities of the spiritual world. People seek liberation. But what are the activities of one who is liberated? This is bhakti. The activities of a liberated soul are to always be engaged in the service of the Lord. With whatever facilities Krishna gives us, Srila Rupa Goswami explains, prapanchakatiya budya hari shambandi vashtana mamukshami puritya govairagam phargukat. Not complete renunciation to just give things away, but to utilize whatever facilities Krishna has given us for his service, in the service of his devotees, to help others become Krishna conscious. That is perfect detachment. That is full, complete renunciation. Ambarish Maharaj was a king. Therefore, obviously, it was required that he have a queen and that he produce children so that there would be princes and princesses. But he was never entangled. Even in his great palace, even with all of his responsibilities to family, to kingdom, to society, because whatever he does, he did in the loving service of the Lord. And he was always very, very careful to serve the sadhus, the great devotees of the Lord. And he would personally perform great, great sacrifices to give other people benefit. Just as we have read of the sages of Naimasharanya, how they performed a great long yajna for the benefit of the people of this age of Kali. Similarly, great kings like Ambarish Maharaj would perform severe austerities and sacrifices only for the benefit of the citizens. Because he knew that what the king does, everyone will benefit. So Ambarish Maharaj greeted Durvasa Muni with great respect. He said, please come to my home, take prasad. Durvasa said, yes, but first I must take my bath. So he went to the river. This was actually at Madhuban in Vrindavan that Ambarish Maharaj performed his Ekadasi Vrat, because he wanted to get the best benefits, and any spiritual activities performed in Vrindavan, Braj Bhumi, has immense, immense benefits. So Durvasa Muni went to Jamuna to take bath. And then he went into a state of samadhi. And the time was coming close. If Ambarish Maharaj did not break his fast, he didn't mind committing offense himself. But he was thinking that I'm performing this fast for all living beings' benefit. And therefore it is very important that I do everything very carefully. So with consultations of Brahmins, they told him that if you take little bit of Charanamrit water, it is considered breaking fast, but not breaking fast. So he took one drop of Charanamrit, and he drank it. And just after, Durvasa Muni appeared on the scene, ferociously angry. That what type of king are you? You cannot even control your senses. You cannot even withhold your temptations to eat before you feed your guests. You are low class. You are unqualified. Therefore, you must die. And he created a demon that was made out of fire. This demon was so gigantic and so terribly, terribly dangerous that it is explained that he could have destroyed the whole universe, the whole earth. And that demon began to make tremendous sounds, roaring, and attacked Ambarish Maharaj. Ambarish just stood very gentle, very humble, with his hands folded, and prayed, "Krishna, if you want me to die, then let me die remembering your lotus feet. That will be your great mercy upon me. And if you want me to go on living in this body to carry on your service, then I have nothing to fear from this fiery demon or for anyone or anything else in this creation. You are my master and you are my protector. You can do whatever you like to me, my Lord. But grant me the blessing that my mind and my heart always be fixed in remembering you." Because of the great humility and devotion of Ambarish, he attracted Lord Narayan's mercy, who sent his Sudarshan Chakra right behind Durvas. And although Durvas was such a very, very powerful mystic who perfected all of the 8 great siddhis, he had to run for his life. He ran to the various abodes of the demigods, Indra, even Brahma and Shiva. And all of them explained, "Durvas, if Vishnu is angry with you, there is nothing anyone can do to save you. Only Vishnu himself can save you, because he is supreme. We are all his eternal servants." So Durvas had such powers that he was able to travel not only to all of the various planets of the demigods, but he was able to travel beyond the Viraja, in through the Brahma Jyoti, the Paravyoma, up to the Vaikuntha planets. And he fell at the lotus feet of Sriman Narayan and begged, "Please save me. Please take this burning chakra away. For 1 year I have been running and running and flying everywhere, but wherever I go I can feel the heat of that chakra ready to destroy me." And Lord Narayan explained to Ambarish that, "I cannot save you. I have no power. You have offended my devotees. Sadhunam hridayam mayam, sadhunam hridayam vaham." That because the sadhu is always thinking of me within his heart, I am always thinking of him within my heart. Because I am his only property and he has given up everything for my sake, I will give up everything for the sake of my devotee. I am powerless to do anything but punish those who offend my devotees. That is the nature of my love. Therefore, you must go to Ambarish, and if he forgives you, I forgive you." So Ambarish, Durvas, went back to where Ambarish was still standing with his hands folded. Ambarish was such a gentle Vaishnava that, do you know that for that 1 full year that Durvas Muni was running for his life due to his offenses, Ambarish did not eat or sleep? Because he thought that my guest still hasn't taken prasad, so I cannot eat. So when Durvas came and fell at Ambarish's feet, Ambarish Maharaj, very embarrassed, was thinking, "So much trouble that you had to undergo because of me. How sinful am I?" Of course he forgave him. and Durvasa Muni was saved. So this was the nature of his devotion. Always hearing, always chanting the glories of the Lord, always anxious to serve the devotees of the Lord. Always willing to forgive even the greatest offenders, knowing that that is an essential part of purifying our heart and pleasing Krishna. Therefore, the citizens, they saw that their king was performing such great sacrifices for their sake. Therefore, they trusted him. And when he told them to come together to hear the glories of the Lord and chant his names, they believed him. And the whole kingdom was immersed in Krishna consciousness. And it is described here that the citizens of the state were so accustomed to chanting and hearing about the glorious activities of the personality of Godhead, they had no material desires. People now, they want a nice house, they want nice furniture, they want nice families, they want nice cars, they want nice jobs, they want nice education. How many things do we want in our life? But no one in the kingdom of Ambarish Maharaj wanted any of these things. They didn't even want to be elevated to the heavenly planets, because they were so satisfied simply hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu prayed, Na danam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janamani janamanishwari bhavatad bhakti rahait ki tvahi. I desire not any quantity of wealth. I do not want what everyone is seeking, association with the beauty of the opposite sex. I do not want followers, prestige, disciples. I aspire not even for liberation from suffering. My Lord, I only want to be engaged in your loving service, birth after birth after birth. And what is that loving service that he aspires for? To always hear the glories of the Lord, to always chant his holy name. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he offered these prayers when he was living in Jagannath Puri, in Gambira. But in his life on this earth, he displayed in such wonderful ways how the only valuable treasure in life is Krishna Bhakti. And the only real wealth is Krishna's name, which is the means by which we can attain bhakti. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was young, living in Nadia, he was the greatest of all scholars. He was known as Nimai Pandit. And how he would present teachings, no one could fathom. Only God himself could present such scholarly presentations. It is explained that he would hear things once from his teacher, Gangadas Pandit, and immediately he would remember it forever and perfect it. Therefore, Gangadas seeing that there was no student in all of creation like him, even Brihaspati could not compete in argument with him. Gangadas always kept little Nimai always by his side. And when Nimai began to teach himself, he had more students than anyone. And he was very much fond of challenging other teachers and other students, everyone. And they would run in fear when they would see him because they knew that they could not meet his challenge. He would present an argument and defeat them. And then he would he would present arguments to his own arguments to defeat himself. And then he would present arguments to defeat the second argument to reinstate the truth of the first argument. And in this way, even the greatest scholars of Nadia, which was the highest seat of learning in the whole planet, they would just look upon him with amazement. So he was most accomplished in his profession. But the devotees, they were always feeling very sad because no one wanted to chant the holy names. And even those who were reciting the scriptures like Bhagavatam and Gita, they never emphasized devotion, transcendental loving service to the Lord. Oh, we have special guests, Giriraj Maharaj. Giriraj Maharaj ki. Swamiji, please. The Vaishnavas. This Nimai Pandit. How? He's so beautiful. He's so much an ocean of all divine qualities that attract our hearts. We just want to be with him always. But whenever we see him, he just engages us in so many mundane arguments about grammar and other rules. Therefore, they couldn't tolerate being with him or without him. One day Mukunda Dutt was walking and he saw Nimai coming and he went the other way. And Nimai Pandit said to one of his students, "Why did Mukunda run away? Did you see that?" He said, "Perhaps he had some important responsibility." He said, "No! It's because he's a Vaishnava. And he can't tolerate hearing or chanting anything but Krishna Katha. He can't tolerate materialistic subject matters. And I'm always harassing him with materialistic subject matters and forcing him to debate with me. That's why he ran away. But you just see, Mukunda Dutt, someday I will become such a Vaishnava that you'll never give up my association. Someday I will become such a Vaishnava that even Brahma and Shiva will be coming to associate with me." And the students just listened and laughed. They didn't understand what he was saying. So like that. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to show the world that no one can become Krishna conscious without accepting the mercy of a spiritual master and without becoming the humble servant of such a devotee. Ishwarapuri came to Navadvip. He was one of the prominent disciples of Madhavendra Puri. But when he came to Navadvip, he came in such a humble spirit. He did not want himself to be known by anyone. But he used to go to the house of Advaitacharya and he would just sit on the ground just to have darshan with Sri Advaita and hear the kirtan of the devotees. Sri Advaitacharya saw him, was thinking, who is this He looks very effulgent. Is he a Mayavadi? Is he a devotee? Who is he? And then Mukunda Dutt began to sing a beautiful song praising Lord Sri Krishna. And as he began to sing, Ishwarapuri began to reveal such rare and priceless ecstatic symptoms that Advaita and all the Vaishnavas understood that he's a great devotee. And when they found out he was the great Ishwarapuri, they all began to call out with raised arms, Hariyo! 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 So they were so happy to have in their presence such a great and honored senior devotee. Just as we are so honored today. We're so happy we raise our arms and we say, I can continue. One day, Lord Chaitanya was returning to his home, and he happened to come across Ishwarapuri. And he bowed down to this great soul with great humility, took the dust from his feet, and invited him, please come to my home for prasad. And Ishwarapuri was very affectionate to young Vishwambar. He embraced him, he rubbed his head, he was so kind to him. And Lord Chaitanya personally served Ishwarapuri with his own hands. Wonderful feast cooked by Sachi Devi. And then, after serving, they spent the day just hearing Ishwarapuri discuss the glories of Sri Krishna. Every day, Lord Chaitanya would go to Gopinathacharya's house where Ishwarapuri was living. And there he would study and listen and discuss topics of Krishna. One day, Ishwarapuri, he explained that he was writing a book. I believe it was called Krishna Lila Amrita. And he said that, you are the greatest scholar, Nimai. Therefore, I would like you to do editing for my book. Any type of flaws or mistakes on any level, if you can correct. And Nimai said, this is not possible. You are a Vaishnava. You are a pure devotee. Pure devotees make no mistakes. Even if with our material vision it appears that it is a mistake, because it was done in pure love and devotion, it is perfect. And anyone who sees with material vision to think a mistake has been made is condemned, is a great offender. Lord Chaitanya taught us here that in the lives of great devotees, because whatever they do is done with humility and devotion to Krishna, Krishna accepts it. And therefore, we cannot calculate by our material standards what they are doing. Because if we do, we become offenders. So when Ishwarapuri heard how Nimai Pandit was so much extolling the glories of pure bhakti, he became very satisfied. But still, he said, I want my book to be acceptable, so please make corrections. So one day, Nimai said, there is a correction I'd like to make. And he explained what it was. And Ishwarapuri said, thank you very much. And then the next day, when Nimai came to Gopinathacharya's house, Ishwarapuri Chandra told him, actually, Nimai, what you said it was a mistake. It's actually not a mistake. It was correct. I thought about it very carefully. And Nimai was defeated. Hriyo! The Supreme Lord who defeated all the great Bhattacharyas, Mishras, Chakravartis, all the greatest scholars, was so happy to accept defeat from his devotee. So Ishwarapuri, after some months, he left Navadvip. And Lord Chaitanya decided that it was the proper time to inaugurate the Sankirtan movement, which is the reason he came to this world, to liberate everyone through the chanting of the holy name. So he told his family and friends that he was going to Gaya to perform the Shraddha for his departed father, Sri Jagannath Mishra. When he went to Gaya Dham, on the way, he was going with some of his students. He appeared to have a terrible, terrible headache and fever. This fever was so intense that he could not proceed in his journey. So his students, they began to bring all sorts of medications, all sorts of treatments, but his fever just kept increasing. Actually, they didn't know it, but he was exhibiting the preface of what was he was about to show the world, ecstatic love for Krishna. So his students became so much worried about him. They didn't know what to do. No medicine was working. And Nimai said that you get me the water that has washed the feet of a devotee, a Brahmin devotee. That will be the medicine that heals me. So they brought the water that washed the feet of a Brahmin, and Nimai drank it. And instantly, his fever, his headache, everything was cured. He wanted to show the world how priceless and precious the remnants of the devotees are. The mercy of the devotees are the most precious treasure in all of existence. Even the Supreme Personality of Godhead hankers for the remnants of the feet of his devotees. So what is our position? How much we should be meditating on serving the feet of the great souls. When he arrived in Gaya, he went to the holy temple of Gadadhar, where the Lord's footprints are enshrined. And he heard the Brahmins chanting prayers in glorification of the lotus feet of the Lord. They were chanting, "How fortunate we are to behold the beautiful presence of the lotus feet of Vishnu. Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, her only fortune and wealth are these lotus feet." And Lord Shiva, he always keeps the Ganges in his hair because the Ganges has washed the feet of the Lord. And Bali Maharaj, he surrendered everything but attained perfection just by the touch of the feet of the Lord on his head. In so many ways they were praising the lotus feet of the Lord, and there were piles of garlands and incense and everything being offered. And at that time, Ishwarapuri happened to arrive. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for the first time, began to exhibit the symptoms of Mahabhava, ecstatic love. the love of Srimati Radharani. The priceless ecstasy of her devotion to Krishna was kept concealed for all those years. But when he first met Ishwarapuri in the presence of the feet of Vishnu at Gaya, that whole treasure house of Sri Radha's love just began to flow in the form of tears from his eyes. His limbs began to tremble. His hairs began to stand on end. And when Ishwarapuri saw him in this condition, he embraced him. Vishwambhara, he said, I'm so happy to see you. How wonderful it is that you have come. Ever since I met you in Navadvip, I cannot stop thinking of you. 24 hours a day I'm remembering you. And every time I remember you, I feel the same ecstasy and love as when I think of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had nice dialogue with Ishwarapuri. They arranged to meet again. After he performed the necessary ceremony of Shraddha for his father, he went to the ashram of Ishwarapuri and he fell at the feet of Ishwarapuri and begged him, please give me diksha. Please initiate me in the mantra of the holy name. And Ishwarapuri, although he knew that Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu was his own worshipable Lord, Sri Krishna himself, as an act of service, he would do anything the Lord so desired. Ishwarapuri says, you are asking me to give you initiation. I will give you my entire life. And then Lord Chaitanya was initiated. And after that initiation, he just became so much intoxicated with ecstatic love. He couldn't think, he couldn't speak anything but Krishna's names. And his students couldn't understand what has happened to our teacher. One day, Lord Chaitanya, while in Gaya, was cooking prasad. And just when he finished, Ishwarapuri came to his house. And Lord Chaitanya said, oh, I have just prepared my prasad. And Ishwarapuri said, I came at the right time. Again, the Lord served his devotee. And meanwhile, Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, secretly entered into the kitchen and cooked again for Lord Chaitanya's prasad. Ishwarapuri told Lord Chaitanya to chant the holy names. And when he began to chant, he came back to Ishwarapuri and said, it appears like I'm becoming a madman from this chanting of the holy names. And Ishwarapuri said, yes, you have perfected your life. This is the glory and the quality of the holy name of Krishna. Now you disseminate the holy name of Krishna for all of society. You spread the glories of the holy name of Krishna to whoever you meet. This is my order. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not preach the Sankirtan of the holy name until he received it as an order from his guru. To teach us that even the Supreme Personality of Godhead will not endeavor for any mission without the instruction and the blessings of the great Vaishnava. The spiritual master. And Lord Chaitanya became so much happy. He just wanted to renounce everything and go to Vrindavan. In fact, one day he just secretly left all of his students from Gaya and began running to Vrindavan. Just chanting the holy names, the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
that time, a voice came from the sky, a celestial voice, and explained, Vishwambar, Shigauranga, it is not the proper time to go to Vrindavan, because you have descended into the world to spread the glories of the chanting of the holy names in every town and village, and you must start this Sankirtan movement in Navadvip Dham. So please return there now, and later you can go to Vrindavan. We are just saying these things to remind you of your mission. So the Lord returned to his students, and then he returned to Navadvip. When he arrived in Navadvip, people could not understand the changes which took place in his character. He was so humble. He was so gentle. And he couldn't stop thinking of Krishna and talking of Krishna and crying for Krishna. His friends and relatives all came to greet him. And Nimai took just a few Vaishnavas who happened to be there aside confidentially. And he told them that I have something very important to tell you. I must reveal the suffering of my heart to you. Please come to Suklambar's house tomorrow morning and bring the Vaishnavas, Sadashiva, Murari, and others. And when they saw him chanting the names of Krishna constantly in ecstatic love, they were very happy. So the next morning, every morning the Vaishnavas would go to Srivas's house because he had a jasmine tree. And this jasmine tree had very, very sweet, fragrant flowers. And no matter how many the devotees picked, the same amount of flowers would always remain on the tree. It was a Kalpa Vriksha tree. The devotees would all gather there and speak Krishna Katha and sing Krishna's names and glories as they would be picking flowers together for their seva. So that day they saw Sriman Pandit, the brother of Srivas. They asked, why you are smiling so much today? He said, because today's last night something wonderful took place. Nimai Pandit has become a Vaishnava, and such love of God we have never seen. And all the devotees were so happy. They were thinking, if Nimai has become a Vaishnava, he will make the whole world devotees of Krishna and engage everyone in the chanting of the holy name. The next day, some of the devotees went to Suklambar's house, and Nimai Pandit, he began to chant the names of Krishna. And with tears in his eyes, he revealed his heart to the Vaishnavas, that all my life I have wasted, and finally I have attained the great treasure of Krishna. And then he disappeared. He was teaching us the supreme position of love and separation, Vipralamba Seva. And when the devotees heard the narrations of the Lord and saw his love, they all began to weep. And Gadadhar Pandit was hiding. And when he saw that the Lord became such a devotee, he fell unconscious. And Lord went to Gadadhar. And he lifted him up. And he said, Gadadhar, from your earliest childhood, you have been a great saintly person. You always worship Krishna. You always chanted the name of Krishna. But I am so unfortunate that I wasted so many years of my life in so many materialistic pursuits. There is nothing but Krishna. In this way, Lord Chaitanya gave great, great pleasure to all the Vaishnavas. One day he went to the house of his teacher, Gangadas Pandit, and he touched his lotus feet, feet of his teacher. And Gangadas said, "Oh, it's very good that you have returned. You have so many students, and they're all waiting for you. They will not accept teachings from anyone but you. So please resume your studies tomorrow." So the next day, on the bank of the Ganges, all of Nimai's students came, and he began to explain that every rule, every injunction, everything simply represented Krishna's name as the supreme truth. He talked nothing about Krishna. Whatever subject, he just brought it to the glorification of Krishna, which, as far as the students were concerned, actually had nothing to do with their studies. But they were so much captivated by his beauty and by his presentation, even though they didn't understand what he was saying. So they went to Gangadas Pandit, and they said that, "Nimai, there's something, maybe there's some imbalance in his life errors. Maybe there's something wrong with his mind. All he does is talk about Krishna. Whatever he says, it just means Krishna." So Gangadas said, "I will talk with him." So when Nimai came to Gangadas's home, Gangadas told him, "Why you are preaching like this? You are a teacher of grammar." He said, "Do you not think that your grandfather, Nilambar Chakravarti, he was a great devotee of Krishna, and your father was a great devotee of Krishna, but still, they were scholars as well, and they performed their work properly. They weren't like this. So yes, you chant the names of Krishna, you be a devotee of Krishna, but you are a teacher and you must teach properly." So Nimai said, "Yes. He went home. And his mother, Sachi, she couldn't understand. Nimai would not sleep at night. All day he was just weeping and crying, chanting Krishna's names.
Krishna, 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 Krishna,
And she asked him, "Nimai, what is happening to you? What has brought about these great changes? What about all your other duties?" And Nimai told him, "Mother, Sachi, this whole world is a dreary void. It is worthless. It is useless. Only Krishna is the goal and the purpose and the fulfillment of our heart's desires." Without Krishna, there was only suffering. There's only birth and death. Without Krishna, we must die. Without Krishna, we have to enter into the womb of a mother. And what happens in that womb of that mother? So much suffering. Being bitten and eaten by insects. Being burnt when the mother eats the wrong foods. Cramped up, unable to move. And after 7 months, that child becomes fully conscious. And that child naturally, in the miserable condition, begins to pray to Lord Hari, "Please save me. Please rescue me. I am so sinful. I have forgotten you and offended you so many times. Punish me if you must, but please give me shelter. Please save me. I am yours. I pray only one thing, that I can come, that let me stay in this womb if it is necessary, but let me always remember you." And let me always associate with your devotees, the Vaishnavas. The baby prays in the womb that let me always bathe in the Ganges of the nectar emanating from the mouth of your devotees in the form of Krishna Katha. Let me not aspire even for Indraloka, but to simply bathe in the ambrosia of your glorification, Sri Krishna. And then Lord Chaitanya told Sachimata, somehow or other, then the baby is forced out of the womb. And then due to circumstances and due to association, that baby forgets everything about Krishna consciousness. This is very essential for all mothers and fathers to be. That when the child is born, he has just come from a very, very severe crisis where he has been praying to Krishna. And when he comes out of the womb, he's very disoriented by the environment. And if the parents just continue his way of thinking by giving him Krishna consciousness from the beginning, that child can become perfect. But generally what we find is the parents give the child so much sense gratification and give the child so much of affection on the bodily conception without any Krishna consciousness that due to that association, the child falls completely into illusion of Maya. And therefore his life is wasted and another death and another birth in the womb. Therefore, my dear mother, always associate with Krishna's devotees. Take shelter of Krishna. Chant his holy names always. So, Nimai went back to his friends, and on the order of his guru, he began to preach very, very good according to scholarly subjects, defeating everyone around him. But then he again went into his internal consciousness, and one of his students asked, can you tell us what is the explanation of verbal roots? And he said, yes. Just like a king, he has such a beautiful body decorated with sandalwood and perfumes, and he has so many beautiful gowns and jewels. But when he's dead, no one wants anything to do with him. Where is his beauty? Where is his attraction? It is just put on the fire. And if you have a father or a son, so much we love to be with that person, but at the time of death, we put fire to their head to burn them. It is the soul, it is the Atma that is the source of life. It is the Atma that is the attractive principle within all living species. The body is dead. It is the soul that is alive. And that soul is part of Krishna. Verb means action. Huh? There can be no action without life. And there can be no life without Krishna. So in this way, Krishna explained verbal roots, that Krishna is the root of all action, of all verbs. Therefore, you should always chant the names of Krishna. And he went on and on like this. And then he came back into more external consciousness, and he said to his students, what did I say? What did I teach you? And they said, you taught us all about Krishna again. That's all you talk about is Krishna. We don't understand what you're saying. You're just talking about Krishna. He said, well, didn't I give you your lessons? He said, you went on for 6 hours. You didn't talk anything but Krishna. And Nimai said, well, it's your duty. You should have told me that I'm telling you the wrong things. He said, but whatever you said was so attractive
And it was so true, we could not say anything. And then Nimai, he said, I have to tell you something, that I cannot say anything but Krishna. I cannot discuss anything but Krishna. I cannot speak anything but the glories and the names of Krishna. I am unable to do so. And then Nimai tied up his books, wrapped them up and tied them, and he said, I can no longer be your teacher. Only the name of Krishna comes to my mouth. So I give you my blessings and my permission. You can go to any teacher you want to continue your studies. And then the students, they all wrapped up their books and tied them up and said, we don't want any other teacher. We discontinue our studies on this day. Because who else can be a teacher after we have had the association of you? We will do whatever you say. We will simply hear the glories of Krishna for you and from you and give up all other pursuits in our life. So all the students of Nimai Pandit, they all gave up all their material pursuits to accept him as their guru and their guide. And Nimai began to explain that you should know that whatever I have been explaining as far as Krishna is very important to know, but it will all be realized through the chanting of his names. All of the knowledge, the most basic and the most intimate knowledge of all the scriptures, will be revealed to you if you just sincerely chant the holy names. And then the students asked, you keep talking about chanting the names of Krishna. How do we chant the names of Krishna? Please instruct us in the process. And according to Vrindavan Das Thakur, it was at this moment that Lord Chaitanya began his Sankirtan movement. This was the beginning. It was the first time he was instructing in the congregational chanting of the holy names. He told his students that this is the way you should chant the holy names. Repeat after me.
Hariharaye namo Krishna Yadavaya nama. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana. Hari Haraye Namo Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana.
And all the students began to clap their hands.
Hariharaye namo Krishna Yadavaya nama. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana. Hariharaye namo Krishna Yadavaya nama. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana. Hari Haraye Namo Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana. Hari Haraye Namo Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana.
students of Nimai, they were chanting the holy names with such enthusiasm that love of God was awakened within all of their hearts. And the neighboring people of Nadia, they couldn't understand, what is this? They have never heard such a thing before. Right in the open, on the banks of the Ganges, tumultuously resounding was the kirtan of the holy names.
Hari Haraye Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namo. Hari Haraye Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namo. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana. Hari Haraye Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namo. Hari Haraye Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namo.
In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after receiving the blessings and the instructions of his own devotee, who took the form of his guru, Ishwara Puri Chandra, began the Sankirtan movement of the chanting of the holy.